ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And we are humbled by those who give us their lives so we can have freedom also. And I think about the different many enemies that are out there. And there's enemies on the outside that definitely are dangerous. And I'm definitely not saying there isn't. But this morning, when we come to Memorial Day or come to considering our country, especially leading up to July 4th, I become not as worried about the enemies on the outside as the enemies that are on the inside of our country, too. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, there's people in our country that do not care about our country, people who would like to destroy what our country has stood for so many years. There's a danger that lives among us, and you've heard me right, there's danger that is even sometimes in our political realms that do not care about our country, do not care about what our country stands for or what our country was built upon. As Americans, many people have been destroying the foundation of our precious country for the last few decades. It's true that America has been struggling for a little while, and when you teach people that they were accidents or that they evolved from monkeys and they will never be held accountable, when you teach people that sin is something that should be glorified, there's going to be problems inside of our country. Yes, sir? Oh, I thought he was saying preacher, so I thought he wanted to say something, so that's good. So there's sin, and it's a sin problem. And we need to do something about it. And the day and time that we live in, people gave their lives to protect the physical freedoms we have. So the call this morning is for people who will be willing to fight for the spiritual freedoms we have also. You know, there's people that are saying killing babies are a choice. People who say homosexuality and transgenderism should be celebrated, not only celebrated, but given special privileges. Sins of alcohol, drugs, immorality runs rampant. Homes are destroyed, and people feel entitled. And I see, and I think about all those people who gave their lives for those. I don't think they were giving lives for freedoms, for people can act whatever they want and disgrace the flag and disgrace the things that our country has stood for such a long time. They say we have religion, but it's a false religion. It's not the belief in the one true God. So this morning, I like to think a little bit about this thought. If I perish, I perish. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven will forgive their sin and will heal their lands. I thought about Bible characters, and Esther is obviously one here we're going to look at in a little while, who said they counted the cost, and they were going to live for God, even if it cost them their lives. And remember us, as we remember Memorial Day, and I can't speak for all the different reasons. I know some people were drafted, but I know the majority, if not the mass majority of our veterans are people who served our country because they loved their country and they believed in something, and they believed the freedoms were worth protecting and worth saving and worth even putting their life at risk. And so here today, I want to consider the fight that we're in. Not just the physical freedoms that we have, but the spiritual life that we've been given. You see different characters in the Bible. Maybe you can tell me about some more. These are some of the specific ones I looked at. I remember Paul when he was there, and he was going to Jerusalem, and they called that prophet, and that prophet told him, he bound him up, and he said, you're going to be bound if you go there. And Paul said these words. And when he heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? Listen what he says. For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And he would not be persuaded. When he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Paul saw what was going on. Paul was headed to Jerusalem. He believed he was led by the Holy Spirit of God there. And he said, I don't know what you're crying for. I'm ready to offer my life if necessary. And I think about stories like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were faced with a wicked wicked man, telling him they do something they knew that was wrong by bowing down to the idol. And what was said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had counted the cost, and they said, no matter what you do to me, I'm willing to die than to give up what I believe is right. Think even about Daniel. They wrote that thing that he could not worship any other god but the king. And it says when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What's Daniel saying? I don't care what you say. There's something that's worth dying for. And he believed praying to his true God was worth dying for. Thrown into the lion's den. And I think about Peter and John, who says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They had just killed Jesus there just months earlier. Their life was on the line. They says, no, we're going to obey God. And I think of those that were willing to celebrate our freedoms and willing to fight for our freedoms and willing to even die for the freedoms so we could live under that freedom today. So many people gave their lives. I think of all those who have given their lives for the cause of Christ. And I'm wondering how many of us are willing to do the same. Think about Hebrews where it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. I think there are so many Christians over the years that could have accepted by just recanting their belief in Christ, but they refuse, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, a bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth, all these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. I think those speak of Bible characters, but down the years, I think you can see that year after year, people who are willing to count the costs and give their life for the cause of Christ. And I think if we went around this room, many people would say, I'd be willing to do that. And our men's prayer meeting yesterday, I gave the short devotion and talked a little bit about this. Someone made the comment that that's the easy button. Willing to die is one thing, but the question is, are you willing to live for him today? We're talking about dying to our flesh. I think if we were all brought before a lion said either Christ or die, we would say we believe in Jesus Christ. But the question isn't, are we willing to die today, because he hasn't called for us to do that. Our question today is, am I willing to live for him? It's not as much about physically dying, but it's about living spiritually in the battle. Esther here, you're going to see in the story, there's a great need. And her nation, her people group are put at risk. They're going to be all wiped off. She knows about that need. She shies away from the need. And she says, I can't do it. And she is reminded that maybe that's why she's in the kingdom. And then she takes it seriously and says, okay, I'm willing to do it. And if I perish, I perish. The need is great today that we live in. But like many of us, I think we're like an Esther who need to be reminded and say, this is your fight. This involves you. This is something you should be taking seriously also. So, Pastor, what can I do today? I can live for God today. I can choose to say I'm willing to risk my life. But what he's asking you to do today is to give your life to him. Bible says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And what a great verse, what a verse that's reminded throughout this Memorial Day. But at the same time, I think what Christ is asking many of us to do is to lay down our lives and live for him. Yes, I'd be willing to lay my life down for the cause of Christ, but am I willing to lay down my affections and my lust and my sins for that same cause? There's a cry. This is not something that's new. This is something that it's in depth. There may be no problem, but what about living for him? What about dying to the flesh? Christ himself says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Galatians 5:24 puts it this way, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Paul himself in 1 Corinthians said, I die daily. In a little while, we're going to have a baptism. I'm excited about that. But it says that even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Scripture says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So the point is, he says, yes, I understand I've been crucified with Christ, but I'm still alive today. And how should I live? So I live, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This morning, my encouragement and my call is, as we remember all those people that died for our freedom, and we live under that umbrella of that freedom, we should remember and honor, and that's what the Memorial Day is about. So many people celebrate it, and so many people talk about a long weekend and don't even recognize the purpose behind it. And I'm not saying you can't enjoy yourself. I think the people who died would want us to enjoy, but at the same time, it's a day of honor and remembrance. So today, the question isn't as much, are you willing to die physically, but have you died to self? Let's jump in here in Esther 4. Esther 4, to give you a little bit of background, we're not going to spend all the whole time going through the whole entire story, but there was a wicked man that hated the Jewish nation, was, I believe, inspired by the devil. And here he has written and convinced the king to destroy all the Jewish people. I think it's the devil trying to get the Jesus not be able to come. And when Mordecai, we're going to start in verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth of ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry. I think Mordecai is not passing the buck here to Esther. I think Mordecai here is willing to do something he's not supposed to do in mourning because he's willing. I think he's counted the cost. I think he's willing to also die for the cause. He came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And every province, whithersoever the king commandments and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. There was a great problem. This nation recognized it, these people recognized it, and they did something about it. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent the raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Not sure exactly what the maidens had heard and what the maidens had told Esther, but Esther just kind of wanted to believe there wasn't a problem. Esther kind of believed, hey, if I just send him some new stuff, maybe he'll forget about this. But we see here that she investigates a little bit further. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains who he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. She wants to know what's going on. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gates, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and the sum of the money that Haman that promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy him, to show it unto Esther, and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. Except such, the king shall hold out the golden sepulcher, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told him Mordecai, Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Then he makes a comment, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to this passage of Scripture and reminded of so many amazing truths. Lord, I believe that you laid it upon my heart to remind us that the cause is great today, and that many times we may shy away from that cause, but the cause is too great for us not to be willing to sacrifice. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the understanding of seeing men and women that were willing to go down with a fight when it comes to the cause of Christ. Thank you for those examples that said there's some things that are worth dying for. And Lord, thank you for the many examples that teach us there's some things worth living for also. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So you read in the story a little bit as you follow along. It's an interesting story. It's got a really easy follow along. Esther's people getting ready to be destroyed, and Mordecai said, you need to do something. She says, I can't. It's not because the cause wasn't great. The cause was great. If you look at it, her people's life is in danger. Her people's life is in grave danger. At a certain date, they're going to actually pay people that will kill the Jews, and they're trying to wipe out the whole entire nation. The cause is great, and I want you to understand today, the cause is great for us also. There is sin that is all around us, and it's running rampant, and we don't see it as a great cause. I don't think Esther questioned the cause. I don't think Esther ever said, you know what, this isn't that big of a deal. I think Esther, once she found out how big of a deal it was, she said, you know what, somebody should do something. But when she read that part where Mordecai said, Esther, you need to go before the king, she kind of steps back and says, I can't do that. And I think the challenge that we have today is many people sitting in many church pews and even people standing behind pulpits, they believe the cause is great and they believe that the need is very, very important. But when we hear the story and when we hear the fact that God wants to use you, we say, I can't do that. And some of the lessons this morning in our Sunday school classes, we heard about Moses who said, I can't do that. God was calling him to deliver the nation of Israel, and the response was, I can't do that. He says, they're not going to believe me. He says, I'm slow of speech. He makes up all the different reasons. And Moses was looking at what he could do on his own and in his own strength. And in that doubt, he was not willing to envision what God had planned for him. He was not willing to live by faith. And because he did not have faith and because he did not have vision, he says, I can't help you, Lord. If God calls you to do something, he will enable you to do that. And if God has called us to help our nation, he will enable us to do that. Stop living in the excuses of saying that's good for someone. I'm glad that God's going to call somebody. I'm glad that God can call somebody to raise Christian kids and have a godly house and godly family. Don't put it on somebody else. God's looking at Moses and says, I'm talking to you. Mordecai was saying, God has maybe put you in that spot, Esther, for such a time as this. Don't sit there and say, you can't do it. Our lives are at stake. The danger is high. There is an important thing that is happening, and maybe God is using you. And Esther says, he's got to use somebody else. Do you think God put us in America in 2021 today, living in the country that we live in with the freedoms that we had where all those numbers of people were willing to give their lives, for us to just say, I think God should use somebody else? He's not. He's given each of us a calling. He's given each of us a responsibility. And I am encouraged when I see that Esther says, you know, Mordecai, everybody knows that I can't go in unless I'm called. And I want you to believe that. And if you wanted a point in the message, number one, the need was great. And I think we see that because I think we see the need that's great inside of our nation today. There's so much hatred. There's so much anger. There's so much there's just so many problems in America today. And we're looking at it and saying, man, somebody should do something. And Esther's like, I agree, somebody should do something. It's just not me. And I think that's where we sit today. And many of us are, she didn't think she could do it. She makes up excuses. And I don't want to seem like I'm weak in my faith, but I'm thankful when I see the story because it reminds me of myself when God's calling me to do something. I ask him, God, there's got to be somebody better. Remember when God called me to preach, the story of Moses is a little bit special to me because if you've heard me speak on a regular basis, sometimes I get stuck on a certain word. As a young person, as a kid, I had to go through speech training. And that speech training was because of the fact that I didn't say my words properly. And sometimes I still mess up. And when God called me to preach, I thought he was making a joke. I says, you got to call somebody else. There's somebody else that can do better. There's somebody. And he says, I want you. And I think so many times in our lives, we're like Esther here, and we're thinking, yes, the need is great. I don't mind helping a little bit, but you know what? Somebody, let me pray for somebody else. Let me fast for somebody else. Let me put it on somebody else. And God's saying, no, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take it seriously. I want you to realize that for such a time as this, I placed you where you are. I've given you the Holy Spirit of God. I've given you the Word of God. I've given you contact available to pray. I've seen all these things. And the reality is that we just want to push it on and press it on to somebody else. But he's saying, I want to use you to do something for me. Don't just wait till next generation. Don't just push on the last generation. Aren't we thankful for all those men and women who said, hey, let them use someone else? But no, they were willing to go. And I see here, in number four, it was real, the threat that was there. Look what it says in chapter, verse number 11 again. And the king's servants and the people of the king's commons do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of this, that he be put to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. And I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. He's saying it right there. Esther's like, you know what you're asking me to do? And I think that sometimes what you might be thinking in your mind, preacher, do you know what you're asking me to do? You're asking me to give up my life. You're asking me to say no to the flesh. You're asking me to take those things I enjoy and I love, and I know that they may not be godly, and I know they may be something I shouldn't be doing, and you're saying I should get rid of all those things because of how great the cause is, and the answer is yes. And just like Esther, she needed to be reminded, hey, your life is not more important than the cause. And I'm not even saying to give your life physically. I'm saying to give up those things that the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I'm saying to say no sometimes. And like Paul, I die daily because the cause is worth it. Do you not think Paul had temptations? Do you not think Paul had interests? And do you not think the devil tempted Paul and the devil tried? Of course he did. You go to Romans and he says, you know, those things I wish I would do, I don't do. And those things I wish I didn't do, that's what I end up doing. It was always a constant battle, always a constant fight. But he said the cause was worth it. He says, I die daily. And I'm wondering today, and I'm not asking you if you would physically give your life for your country, because I think many of us would. I'm not even saying that that would you give your life instead of denying Christ, because I think many would. But do you believe the cause is great enough that you'd be willing to die to self today? She didn't think she could. But the amazing thing is, Mordecai reminds her, for such a time as this, in verse number 14, he says, look, God's going to do what he wants to do. Look what it says in verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall thy enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. God's going to take care of his people. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. He says, you're not going to be without. You're going to be someone who's going to be punished. And he says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That reminds me is that God brought us here for this moment, this time, brought us to this church, brought us this area, gave us these families for such a time as this. He didn't make a mistake. You've been put here for a certain purpose and a certain reason. And I truly believe with all my heart, it's not for you to live unto yourselves. It's not for us to do what we want to do. It's to understand the cause. And even though we feel like we can't do anything about it, like Esther, I'm really sorry, Mordecai. I see the problem. I understand the problem. But you can't ask me to do this. And Mordecai's like, don't you see? You're sitting in the kingdom. You're sitting in the palace. There's a reason why you're right where God has put you at. Maybe it's for this exact moment in time. Don't shy away from what God's trying to do. Instead, embrace what God's going to do. And by faith, do it. Third thing I want you to think about. She considered the cost and she took it seriously and was willing to pay the price. Verse number 16, Esther hears. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be called. Sometimes we need to hear preaching that is right in our face and say, hey, this includes you too. And she hears this from Mordecai. Mordecai's, in a sense, preaching at her and saying, look, you need to do something. It may depend upon you. And then she says, go gather together, in verse 16, all the Jews. She doesn't do it flippantly. So many times people will say, yeah, don't do me. And then it's like, fine, I'll serve God and do it halfway. She's like, no. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. And she says, and all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nor night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise. And so I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. She says, if it costs me my life, I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm wondering today, in a time that we live in such wishy-washy Christianity and so many lack of commitments when it comes to many times our spiritual lives, we have watered-down versions of what Christian life is really supposed to be. We need to be reminded, like Esther, God wants to use you wherever you're at, in the palace, or in the back of the storeroom. She says, okay, I realize the cause is bigger than I am. I think about Memorial Day, there was people that realized the cause was bigger than they were. I'm thankful for all the freedoms I have. And I'm not as concerned about the dangers outside, like China's and Russia's and Iran, as I am more worried about those that are so ungodly living amongst us. And that bothers me, but it bothers me even more about the ungodliness that's inside of our own lives that does not bother us anymore. And the sin that so that's easily beset us that we don't even care anymore. And we have people saying, This includes you. It's really important. Don't just stay silent. Be willing to die, not physically as much as die to self today. Give your heart over to what God desires for you. Take it seriously and be willing to pay the price, because it's what's necessary. We see all these sins, but many times it doesn't humble us. The Bible says if we humble ourselves, that's when he's going to work in our lives. Then I think about the one, and I think about the story of Paul who says, hey, I'm willing to die. I think about Esther who says, if I perish, I perish. And I even think about Peter, and even think about the many soldiers who gave their lives, most times, not all, didn't know that they were going to die that day. I know there were certain spots and certain times when more than 50% didn't come back. And they knew when they went up that hill or they went to that section that there was a good chance they weren't coming back. Now I think about Jesus Christ, who before the foundations of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. And that Christ saw the great need that was there. And when he saw our need, he says, I'm going to go. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ knew he was going to die. Just as much as we have wonderful freedoms in our nation today, we have a wonderful spiritual freedom that only Christ can give. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Tonight we're going to take part of the Lord's table and we're going to remember what he did for us. No one took his life away from him. The Bible even says, no man take it from me, but I lay down my life. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All these things and all these reminders tell us that Jesus Christ willingly gave his life so that we could have a home in heaven. Maybe we should see his example and say, if the cause of Christ was good enough for God to leave heaven to die for the sins of mankind, should it not be good enough and important enough for me to say no to my flesh and yes to God? And I don't know how God speaks to your heart or is speaking to your heart, because then there's different levels and different maturities. Maybe this is why God has us here today, is to be reminded the cause is so great. The darkness is so much around us, but am I willing to not just die, but live for him today? How valuable is my life today versus comparing the cost of living for him? Am I not willing to offer my life for such a great cause? Once again, I'm not talking about going on the front lines and killing ourselves physically. I'm talking about entering into a life that is separated unto the Lord, seeking his will and saying, I'm willing to say no to myself in order to be in a place where God can live through me. Nathan Hale once said, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. And I'm wondering, I only regret, but I only have one sin to give up? We talk about our physical lives and that ultimate sacrifice. Man, our flesh and our lust and our sins and our lies, they really pale in comparison. What is holding us back from living for him today? And I can see heroes willing to die for a cause that really mattered. And I see it in the spiritual realm, heroes that are willing to die for a important thing. And I wonder today, God's challenged my heart, and I pray he's challenged your heart. Am I willing to die to myself, which means live unto God, crucified to Christ, but I'm still alive? How should I live? By faith. So today, let me encourage you. Are you willing to live for him today? I'm not talking about willing to die. I'm talking about dying to self so you can live with newness of life. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, what a great time, Memorial Day, is to remember all those soldiers that gave the ultimate price. But there was one who gave his life for even a greater freedom, and that was our spiritual freedom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Esther that shows us it's not an easy choice. It should be, but we fight it. We always want to give it to somebody else. We always want to let somebody else do it. We always want to say, not me, Lord. We want to be like Moses. We want to give out those excuses. Hey, I can't do it. I can't talk right. Lord, send somebody else. But Lord, for such a time as this, you've brought us here for this reason in this moment, not to live unto ourselves, but to live for you. And I believe there's a lot of patriotic people here today that would be willing to lay down their life for their country if necessary. And I believe there's a lot of spiritually minded people today that said, I'd be willing to die for the cause of Christ. But Lord, the question is, am I willing to die to myself so I can live for him more effectively? Lord, help if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, that they get that settled this morning. They don't leave this place without knowing for sure that they died today, they would go to heaven. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.